Democrat Gary Trauner announced earlier this year that he is seeking the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Senator John Barrasso. Trauner lost two previous bids for federal office, losing to Barbara Cuban and Cynthia Lummis in the U.S. House race. Trauner has lived in Wyoming for 28 years and has been active in Teton County in a variety of roles, including chief operating officer at St. John's Medical Center, co-founder and chief financial officer of OneWest.net, that's a regional internet service provider, and was the vice president of finance of Teton Trust Company, that was one of the first private trust investment firms in the state of Wyoming. Trauner is also a former school board chairman and is currently the executive director of the Jackson Hole Youth Lacrosse Club. He joins us to discuss some of his views. Maybe start off a little about our extractive industries and some of the regulations that we've seen changed and the endorsement by, I think, the entire delegation of backing out of climate change policies, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts on that?
We're an energy state, and we probably always will be an energy state to some extent. I think that it's important for us to move out of the boom-bust cycle that we've been in for as long as most of us can remember here in this state. And to me, that means diversification. So I tell people, look, if you want to stop digging coal tomorrow, turn off the lights, turn off your heat, turn off your air conditioning in the summer, because it still provides 30%+ of our electricity. But I think the free market is actually telling coal and other conventional sources that we're moving in a different direction. And to me, this is an opportunity. It's not something that's scary. It's not something that's bad. It's an opportunity for Wyoming and this country to diversify our energy sources, maintain our leadership role in this country and in the world in how we develop and provide energy and in the economy of tomorrow, because that's where it's going to be. And the side benefit, or maybe not even a side benefit, is I think it provides more good jobs, more stable jobs with competitive pay that can help us break out of the boom-bust cycle locally. So, the market's sending signals. And I think you have people that are claim to be free market people until those signals go against what they want. And then all of a sudden they're command and control from Washington, D.C., which is what we're seeing. And so I think, fine, let's recognize what the market is saying. Let's diversify. It's not mutually exclusive. Let's continue to do coal and natural gas as responsibly as we can for our climate. But let's make sure that we move in another direction as well.
In some thinking, though, saying that Scott Pruitt isn't going to enforce this or he's not going to do this, we're going to move these regulations, isn't that little more than just talk? Because at the end of the day, the industry folks are saying, okay, this is what the Trump administration's saying. If the election swings in a couple of years, it's going back. So my understanding is they've been going ahead with climate policy anyway.
Well, I think they have. That's exactly right. And, my concern is, I use an example. I don't know if it's exactly analogous, but I don't want the energy companies in the northeast corner of the state or in other areas of the state to become like Kodak, right? Kodak, we all bought film from Kodak. And Kodak actually invented the first digital camera. But the truth is they missed the digital boat. They didn't react quickly enough in the marketplace. And they're basically gone. They maybe licensed some royalties on patents, but that's about it. I don't want our single source energy companies to become like that, because that means jobs lost, et cetera. So I'm hopeful that at the federal level, we can provide some incentives and some push to continue on the path that is inevitable, I think, as you just said, Bob. Whether or not policy changes or changes back, it's kind of inevitable the direction we're moving, and help these companies to see that they can continue doing what they're doing but move into the future as well.
Gary Trauner visiting with us today. When we last talked, we had a chance to talk about the new tax bill and the trickle-down economic approach that, we take away the taxes from the richer folks, we'll all benefit from it. I don't think you agreed with that approach.
I don't know if
you changed your mind.
I don't know if I was as strong last time, but let's face it, trickle-down, it's a fraud, okay? It's never worked, and it doesn't work. It's amazing to me that the answer to everything seems to be tax cuts for wealthy people. In this tax cut bill, look, tax cuts for the middle class is a good thing. Temporary tax cuts for the middle class, but permanent tax cuts for large corporations and wealthy heirs, probably not as good a thing. And it's part of what we're calling the D.C. playbook. So, it's what people in D.C. do. They say one thing, they do another, and they hope nobody's paying attention. So they tell you you're going to get a little bit extra in your paycheck. They don't tell you that little bit extra is going to go away someday. They don't tell you that it's permanent for the other people, the corporations and the wealthy heirs. And they hope you're not paying attention when everything changes back and those folks still get what they what they paid for, essentially, in D.C., what they bought and paid for with politicians, and us regular folks get screwed. And here's the way I take a look at it. I can make my kids really happy by giving them more allowance every week, right? But if I take it out of their college fund, they get short-term gratification, and then 5 or 10 years down the road, they can't go to college because there's no money left. That's what we're doing. We're blowing a bigger $1.5 trillion hole in our debt and deficits, and we're buying off people today because that's what politicians in D.C. do, and we need to get away from that.
Yeah, and it's a situation, as you said, that we've just got a report this week that the deficit is continuing to just skyrocket. Nothing has really changed, and in fact, they made it a little bit worse.
Right. It was $1.9 trillion instead of $1.5. You know, we're mortgaging our future. Right. I mean, $21 trillion of debt. And let's be clear, by the way, it's not Social Security and Medicare that have done that. Right. They have their own tax system.
Or public broadcasting.
Definitely not public broadcasting. So we need to find a way to be fiscally responsible. And it's amazing to me, part of the D.C. playbook, that the people that 2 or 3 years ago were yelling and screaming how debt was going to destroy our country seem to have no problem today increasing the debt in order to pay off their supporters.
The belief is, again, that this is going to generate revenue without tax increases down the line. You're a small businessman.
Doesn't work that way. No? I don't know how else to say it. It just doesn't work that way. It hasn't been shown to have worked historically. Kansas tried this just very recently on a statewide level. They reduced taxes and they ended up almost destroying their state budget and their state education department and their schools. We know it doesn't work. It's an easy sell because nobody wants to pay taxes. I don't want to pay a penny more in taxes than I have to. But the truth is, if we're going to be responsible, we have to pay our way.
Gary Trauner again visiting with us. You mentioned, I think, at the start, you had been working with St. John's Medical Center. And just I find that interesting because your former head of the organization there was very, very strong in, you know, healthcare reform, using Affordable Care Act to do some of these things. Obviously, we don't have anybody in our delegation currently that is on board, and the person you're running against probably is the most vehement against the ACA. So my guess is you would agree that there's some changes still that need to be made in the ACA. I think we all see some problems there. I'm curious what you would like to see happen there.
I'll agree with you, Bob. There probably are still some changes that need to be made in the ACA, but I start from sort of the highest goal. What's our goal in this country with healthcare, right? We don't consume healthcare the way we consume we buy TV sets or gas grills, right? It's people's health. If there's one cancer drug and you've got cancer, you're going to buy that drug no matter what, even if it bankrupts you, because you want to live. It's that simple, right? And we're supposed to be good consumers, but I always joke, how can you be a good consumer when you're unconscious in the operating room? You don't know what they're using or doing or anything else, right? Healthcare is different. Now, for me, the goal is to make sure that every single person in this country has proactive, affordable access to basic quality healthcare. End of story. That's the goal. That's the overarching goal. And having helped run a hospital and been immersed in the system for a bunch of years, it's pretty clear that our administrative costs are killing us. So we need standardization. We need to make it easier to understand. We need transparency in pricing. Absolutely. But I think a lot of people don't understand the true costs. I assume, I could be wrong, Bob, but you get healthcare coverage through your job here, right?
Right, yep.
And you maybe have some kind of premium copay, but most people don't realize that their employer is paying a huge amount more. So maybe you pay, and I don't know what it is, $200 a month for your premium, but your employer is probably paying $1,000 or $1,500 more for you because it's super expensive to get healthcare. We need to bring those costs out so everybody sees, make them transparent. And I always get the argument, well, you know, you can get healthcare, you can go to the emergency room. And I tell people, you know what? I've seen it. You get a hangnail, people get a hangnail, they can't afford the $100 to go to their urgent care or their regular doctor. So they don't do anything about it. 2 weeks later, it's infected. They still can't afford to do anything about it. So they stick it in some hot salt water. Nothing happens. And then a month later, they've got sepsis and they're in the emergency room and it's a $100,000 life-threatening visit, right? A, that's not healthcare, that's triage. And B, there's no free lunch. So instead of a $100 bill, it's a $100,000 bill they can't pay and the rest of us pay for it. So we're all paying a hidden tax anyway. So it's complicated. It's not an easy situation. But every other Western country in the Western world has figured out how to give every one of their citizens access to health care in an relatively affordable way. We should be able to figure it out too.
Gary Trauner, where can folks find out more about you?
You can go to my website, which is www.trownerfory.com. So Trauner for Wyoming, essentially, .com. On Facebook, we're doing a lot of videos and a lot of stuff that I think is interesting while I'm on the road. So that's Facebook/Trauner4WY as well. Same on Instagram, social media. We're trying to make a big push to get to people as much as we can. And plus, I'll be in their communities traveling around like I did last time, knocking on doors, because the only way I get it is to meet people. And if I can say one last thing, I was talking to someone in Casper at the Casper Housing Authority, and at the end of our little tour, she said, you know, Gary, I've never had someone from your running for your office or in your office come and want to know what we're doing. And I looked at her and it stunned me. I was like, how can you make policy if you don't know what's going on in your communities and you're not talking to people and you don't know what works well and what doesn't work and where the needs are and where the issues are? So that's what I try and do.
Gary Trauner, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate it.